more than just goodbye. You see, goodbyes can be extremely painful. Oh, there is a very distinct pain that accompanies a goodbye. It is a pain that we all hope to avoid, but it's a pain that, by virtue of loving others, that we have. We all will face it one day. Because we love people, sometimes we have to say goodbye. There are both very temporary farewells, like a short trip from family and friends, and there are very permanent farewells, the death of a loved one. On a Sunday afternoon in August of 1991, I pulled out from my aunt's house, headed to Louisville, Kentucky. We had had a goodbye meals with family and friends and church members for several weeks, things that we had celebrated. I had everything that I could pack in my car, and I was headed out on an adventure to follow the calling that God had on my life. Seminary was in the distance ahead of me, and my family was in the distance behind me. It was one of the most difficult times as we try to find the right words to say goodbye. Finding words to express our feelings. Today's text from John's Gospel, Jesus begins a farewell to his closest friends. In the chapter before today's reading, in the 13th chapter of John's Gospel, is perhaps one of the most tender scenes between Jesus and his disciples. This chapter we've been over these past few weeks as Jesus is talking about the scenes of life. The chapter includes the last meal that they had together. Jesus washing his disciples' feet. His prediction of his own death. And then even more painful prediction of Judas's betrayal and Peter's denial. He told them all these things. Can't you just imagine the feelings that must have been present that day in that upper room? There must have been both fear and incredible love. That's part of life, isn't it? Fear and incredible love. You see, I imagine the disciples' amazement at Jesus, the Son of God, as He humbled Himself down before them to bend down and to wash their feet. I imagine a scene of dread as they savored their last peaceful moments together while anticipating the unknown evil that was ahead for them. Although the Gospel of John reiterates the divine nature of Jesus consistently, Jesus' tender human feelings towards His disciples and His friends are evident in the 13th chapter of John. It describes the powerful farewell setting of the Lord's Supper. But you see, John 14 today recaptures Jesus' deep emotions at both His impending death and His love for His disciples through a passage known as the Farewell Discourse. Although the farewell continues all the way through chapter 17, chapter 14 is where this emotional discourse begins with familiar text that says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." It recognizes the distress of the disciples. Jesus encourages them not to be troubled. He's there to bring them comfort. What a remarkable encouragement from a man that is just mere hours away from his own death. As Jesus offers support and reassurance, he also acknowledges his divine nature. Jesus teaches, even in these last hours, that God is indeed his parent. God is to him both mother and father. And his role is more than just that of a great teacher. In verse 6, Jesus answers that ever-questioning Thomas with a powerful theological statement. Jesus states that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He says, "It's me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus was more than a mentor. He was more than a leader. He was their salvation. He was it all. He was everything to them. He's everything to you. He's everything to me. In verse 11 today, Jesus describes his oneness with God, a concept that would be a challenging issue for that early church to grab hold of. And you know, even today, it's a concept that's hard for many others to grab hold of today, of Jesus' oneness with God. It's one that we have a hard time putting our mind around. In verse 14, he describes the power of the mere mention of his name in prayer, and he will do it. Whatever it is, I'll do it if you ask it in my name. In but a few verses, Jesus not only gives words of comfort for his disciples, but also establishes more theological teaching for generations of believers to come. Not only that group today was with him that day in the upper room, but for all of us as the years have gone by, it's for all of us. I think it's significant today that in this last conversation with his disciples, Jesus is reiterating and explaining the complex issues of incarnation and salvation. He's telling them all about what's going to happen. He's telling them how it's going to work and what they've got to do. In many ways, through this passage, Jesus is passing the torch on to his disciples. He's letting things happen. He's saying, you know, I'm not going to always be here. Things are changing. He's passing the torch. Some of you have seen that happen in your own lives. Sometimes it might have happened at a time that came tragically whenever you were not really prepared for something to happen and you lost a loved one and all of a sudden you became the adult in the family, the one that began to carry on a tradition. Sometimes it was that fact that a parent has passed away and that you're the one that's left and you're the one that takes on those traditions. You do the things like Mama did or something like Daddy did. You're the one that's passed on to you. Sometimes it's told to you before they go. They ask you to do something for them. And sometimes you're able to do that and sometimes you're not. But in today's word, Jesus is passing that torch to all of us, not only those disciples that day, but to you and to me, to say, here, this is what you're supposed to do. You see, at Jesus' own death, it impends and the disciples deal with the implications of life without Him. They're beginning to think, what's it going to be like? They're beginning to wonder. They're still not quite sure of what's going on. It's kind of like when we lose those we love. We're kind of in a fog. We're kind of in a daze. It's kind of, you know, you can't remember everything that happens. You remember people that came and done stuff, but you can't remember everything that happened. Sometimes it comes back to you in little glimpses in your mind. But Jesus makes sure that they really understand what His ministry and life have been about. He says, you got to know this. You got to hold on to it because guess what? I'm leaving you. I'm going to say goodbye. You see, Jesus here is that ultimate parent. He's that ultimate mother, that ultimate father. He's taking care of His children, protecting and preparing them. This passage, which so passionately bids farewell, also ordains the disciples for the next phase of their ministry. He prepares them and ordains them. He blesses them. He brings them forth and He tells them. He talks to them. He shares a meal with them. He breaks the bread and shares with them that day. He lets them know what is going to happen. He ordains them for the next generation of ministry. They must realize that He will not physically accompany them on their journey. So they must once and for all grasp the truth of Christ. You know, it's hard for us to grasp that truth. It's hard for us sometimes to grow up. It's hard for us sometimes to take hold of and become the adult. We too must grapple with the text as more than a beautiful goodbye. It is a text of instruction that for the writer of this gospel, just put it all together. He put it in a capsule. He just put it together. The message of Christ that is specifically remembered as part of His last words. May His words this season of Eastertide affect us as profoundly. May our hearts embrace like never before the truth of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let it not be a final goodbye. Let it be a hello. Let us pray.